Last night was contentious. No handshaking before or after the debate. What will happen tonight when Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton sit down together at the annual white tie fundraiser for Catholic charities in New York, known as the Al Smith Dinner? Traditionally, it's the last time presidential candidates share a stage before the election, and one in which they also share jokes. But today, nobody is laughing.
Trump is tweeting, though. He tweeted that Hillary Clinton got the debate questions in advance. She tweeted he can't handle reality. After this moment in last night's debate, when moderator Chris Wallace pressed Trump about the tradition of candidates accepting the results on election night.
The loser concedes to the winner, not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well, joining us from Washington, here now, political commentators Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist, not working for the Clinton campaign. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. And Paris Denard, Republican strategist, not working for the Trump campaign. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And we have to start with you, Paris. Was that a mistake on Trump's part to refuse to say that he would accept the results on election night?
You know, the unfortunate thing about this election is that people continue to ask Mr. Trump this question. During the GOP primary, the RNC actually created a document for him to sign, forcing him to say that he was going to support the nominee. And then they forced all the rest of the candidates to do the same. And most of them reneged on that contract, with the exception of people like Governor Christie and Ben Carson and Governor Perry. But at the end of the day, we continue to ask Mr. Trump, what is he going to do? Are you going to concede? And look, he doesn't have to answer the question. It wasn't a mistake. And there's precedent. If you look back on in 2000 with Gore v. Bush, if he would have come right out and just conceded, it would have been a mistake. And so you got to wait to see what's going to happen, because
okay,
he believes that there's a rigged election.
Jamal, jump in.
Well, I think as someone who is a veteran of the Gore v. Bush fight, who spent several weeks in West Palm Beach and also was at the vice president's residence the night that he conceded, there was never a doubt that once the results were in, that the vice president was going to concede to Bush, if that was the final result. With Donald Trump, the problem is we're just not sure what he will do. And what we can all hope, though, is that people with saner heads like Mike Pence and Ivanka Trump and Kellyanne Conway will concede to the person who wins the election and make sure that many of their folks know that it's time for us to move on.
And Paris, this seemed to be the talking point afterwards when everybody came forward and said Al Gore. But that was a unique situation when there was a mandatory recount of votes in Florida, which is, of course, why he couldn't concede. It wasn't over.
That was also after the election than before.
And do you understand that, you know, that there are so many people, Republicans among them today, asking, what kind of a message does that send? We are supposed to be the country. We're not a third world country. We're a country where you accept the part of the democracy that's the election.
What kind of country is it when we continue to ask one person what he's going to do if he loses?
Well, he's the only one.
Assuming that he will. And
we
don't do this to Secretary Clinton. We didn't do that to the rest of the GOP nominees that were running. We continue to do that to him, and it's unfair. We need to accept the fact,
because he's indicated
that
he thinks the election is rigged. He's the only one who said that.
There's evidence that it is rigged.
Oh, come on. That's not really true. Here's the real
problem. The videotape that he talked about last night was proof positive, and you look at some of the voting discrepancies. You asked Richard Nixon.
Sure. Richard Nixon had the same problem. You know what Richard Nixon did? He conceded the election. He didn't fight it out in Texas
and
in Chicago.
He would have been president.
Well, let's get to a bigger issue here. Let's get to a bigger issue.
Well, let's go to another moment.
That Trump is not the problem with Mr. Trump is that he has not proven himself to be a patriot when it comes to the very foundational things about our democracy. He challenges the freedom of the press. He's challenging the electoral system. He challenges all the things that we sort of hold dear about how we function as a society. And what we need to see from him and hear from him is that he is willing to subsume his own personal desires for what's best for the country. Well, that's all anybody really wants.
Well, let's ask a question about your candidate, Jamal, or your party's candidate. First of all, did she miss opportunities? At one point, Donald Trump said repeatedly that it was President Obama who deported so many immigrants. Doesn't that undercut his argument that she and Obama are softer on immigrants? But she didn't say anything. Did she miss some opportunities?
I think Hillary Clinton's objective last night was to walk out there and be president of the United States. Show people what it looks like when you have somebody who is responsible and dealing with the issues at hand in a responsible way. You know, she put some shots to Mr. Trump. I think she baited him, and he took the bait, and she reeled him in. And by the time it was over, he could barely contain himself, and it just made the contrast between the two of them so much starker.
Wouldn't it have been more presidential, though, to shake hands? They didn't shake hands before or after. I mean, you could put that on both of the candidates, but what do you think, Jamal, about Hillary Clinton on that front? Should she have gone over and shaken his hand?
I think we've reached a level of depth in this contest where we're going after each other. The two candidates are going after each other in ways that really most people would understand why she wouldn't want to shake his hand.
She was Secretary of State. She's been a First Lady and a United States Senator. She knows decorum. She knows political savviness, and she knows what is diplomatic. She should have shaken Mr. Trump's hand.
What about this moment when Clinton was talking about paying more into the Social Security Trust Fund through increased taxes, and she took a dig at Donald Trump for not paying his federal income taxes? Here it is.
My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure.
Jamal, what do you think about that moment? A lot of people have said today that really is a turnoff for women voters in particular.
Speaking on behalf of women voters.
I'm here. I'm sitting here.
Right.
Go ahead.
But what I will say, here's the challenge from a strategist perspective. Donald Trump is doing very badly with women and not doing as well as he should do, particularly with white women who are part of the Republican coalition in order to win. I don't see moments like that making him, endearing him to that population and gaining him any votes.
But pushback to that was his line on partial birth abortion, which I think was a very strong one, very appropriate, and it put Secretary Clinton in the hot seat about an issue that she did not want to talk about at all. And Mr. Trump was very strong then. I think a lot of women, independent women, thought about this situation thinking, you know what, I might be pro-choice, I might want to support abortion, but partial birth abortion, that's something I cannot agree with. And I think he made Secretary Clinton very uncomfortable.
Well, and Jamal, weigh in on that, because some people are saying that actually she really went out and maybe got a lot of the more to the left Bernie Sanders voters who wanted to hear her say something strong, like, I know women who have had to make this choice, and it should only be made by the woman.
Yes. And, you know, Cecile Richards from Planned Parenthood tweeted out last night that she had had an abortion, and that this was – and when Donald Trump is talking about women, he's talking about women like her. I think that this is something that women who have had to make this decision and found it to be very personal, and people who've known people who've had to go through it, like, it's not something they want to see batted about in a political discourse. This is something for people to deal with their doctors and their families and themselves in however way they feel is appropriate. And I think the problem here fundamentally is that Donald Trump just does not seem like he is operating from a perspective where he's putting their needs ahead of his. And in the ways we saw him on the bus with Billy Bush, to the ways he's talked about people like Alicia Machado, he does not seem to be putting the feelings and concerns of other people ahead of his own desires.
Mm-hmm. Paris, 2.5 weeks left until Election Day, voting already underway in some places. What does Donald Trump need to do as a closing argument in this campaign? And what about Republicans in Congress as well, some of whom are very worried about what might happen to them?
Yeah, I think the Republicans in Congress need to focus on their race. There's some that are going to be safe. There are strong Republican districts. The other ones need to focus on what they're going to do and tie this election back to Barack Obama and to Secretary Clinton and the problems that many of the communities are having. What Mr. Trump needs to do specifically is to stay on message as it relates to the 30 years that Secretary Clinton has been in office. And he started that last night. He said, if you've been in office for 30 years, what have you done? It's like Janet Jackson. Great. Congratulations. But what have you done for me lately? What have you done for the community, for the Black community, Latino community? For our everyday Americans, what have you done lately? And really, that's the question that American people are going to ask. And what has President Obama done when you look at the state of the country now? And do you want 4 more years of that? So that line of defense, 30 years of doing nothing, I've been a successful business, and that's going to do for America.
Well, of course, that opened up her line of attack of quoting everything he did for the past 30 years, hosting TV shows. Well, you know, while she
anybody was successful.
Yeah. Well, but he did.
While she was doing things that were fighting for other people, he was doing things to enrich himself. I think that's the fundamental fundamental contrast between these two candidates.
Well, but, you know, Paris, I really want to ask you, I sincerely do, we have had long conversations through the conventions right. and elsewhere. Donald Trump had very strong moments. Everybody kind of agrees that the first 30, 40 minutes, very strong, very on point. He had rehearsed. He had, you know, it right. showed. He talked about trade. He talked right. about things in a very statesmanlike way. Then something happened. Now, either it was, as Jeremy said, he takes the bait. Something happens, and it seems to be that way in every one of the debates. Do you worry about a presidential candidate who, for whatever the reason, can't hold it together, or has the appearance of not being able to hold it together?
I think what happens each time in these debates, what you see is that Mr. Trump tries to stay on policy and tries to talk about things of substance, and Secretary Clinton takes the low road and starts to dig in about
But that's what world leaders will do. You know?
No, I don't know. I don't think world leaders will do that. I think there's a thing. There's something that she does that is really, in her words, deplorable. And
she
Mr. Trump,
him, she called him a choker and a puppet, and he lost his.
And you think
mind.
That's presidential, and you think that's diplomatic? Nobody, no world leader goes on stage, calls people choker and things like that. So
no,
what he does
do
is respond. He responded to that. Mr. Trump is someone who is unconventional. He's not the same kind of candidate. He's not polished. But he's going to defend himself. We'll see in November.
Paris Dinard, Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist, neither working with the campaigns.
And don't sit them together at dinner.
He's a puppet.
Thanks so much.